Hands off with the Google Pixel 4. Google's smart speakers get a handy new feature. Samsung has a fingerprint issue on its hands. See what I did there? And your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro. This is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about. Plus, I answer all the questions that you send me. Hear them? Right there. That's them.
The questions.
We print them out.
Yeah, we do.
Welcome, producer Megan. What's going on?
Hey.
Is that your new thing? Did you think about that? Did you have that?
No,
be honest.
I did not. I swear that just came out. And then you literally like read my mind. And I don't know where that came from.
Okay,
but maybe that's my thing.
Maybe. Well, okay. So this is.
Hey.
Kind of funny. But so, you know, I fill in for Leo Laporte.
Yeah.
On occasion. Actually, I'm going to be doing it in 2 weeks. But so I didn't realize that he had a way of like introducing the show every time. And so it's really like when you're doing a syndicated radio show, like it's really nerve-wracking to think like literally you're on, like the producer is in your ear and he's like, you're hot, you know? And all of a sudden you're like live to all these people around the nation. And I like didn't know what to say. Like, how do you say, you know, like good morning, but it wasn't morning in some places, you know?
Oh.
So anyway, so I noticed that Leo always, he always does something like, well, hey, how are you doing today? Or something like that.
Oh.
And so it kind of like reminded me of what you just did.
Yeah.
But I have not come up with a thing.
Yeah.
Like of what I say, but.
There's another podcast I listen to and they go, hello.
Right. So everyone has their thing of how they intro. And if you watch or listen to this show, I should say listen, because there is no watching, you realize that there is nothing. There's no givens. There's everything. Every week is like 100% different. So, but anyway, we did just have a meeting with our big boss here.
Big boss.
At our new company. You know, we were purchased. KTLA, as part of Tribune, was purchased by a new company called Nexstar. And so that's our new company that we work for, which I used to work for back in the day. But we had our big meeting. Mm-hmm. How nervous were you, scale of 1 to 10, for this meeting?
I mean, 10 is really extreme. I would say maybe a 7.
Did you sleep last night?
Yeah, I slept.
Okay,
I actually did sleep.
I slept really well.
Okay. You were not obviously nervous at all.
No, well, I was also jet lagged.
I feel like as a reporter, like you just can't really get nervous.
No,
like,
you don't.
I feel like you're used to just always being on. But for me, I'm like, I feel like I just trip over all my words. Mm. That's how I feel.
But I think we did well. The meeting was very short.
I thought you did great.
It was to the point.
I think I had nothing.
No, you were great. Burp, 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 burp. We just ended up, we ended up just talking about like how much we love doing social media. So who knows if it was good or not, but.
Yeah.
Let's get to the big news of the week. The Pixel 4 smartphone is unveiled for real. I was in New York for the big Made by Google event, and I have a Pixel 4 right here, which according to my NDA, they call it, or embargo, whatever you want to call it, there are certain rules, and apparently I was reading it, and it said you can only tweet pictures from the main camera, which I think by saying that, I'm breaking the rules of saying what the rules are.
Oh, wow.
Which, yeah. So I was going to tweet like a selfie, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even like tweet a selfie because it says you can't. But anyway, so all the tech companies, when they give you stuff to review, there's a certain time that they want, and we've talked about this before, when you can reveal your thoughts. There's a thing called first impressions. So if you're ever watching YouTube videos, when you see first impressions, that means that is not a review, or hands-on, not a review. Only when you see that magic word review, that means that the embargo has been lifted and you are free to give all of your thoughts on this device.
Oh.
And so there's a lot of stuff I've noticed about this device. I can't necessarily say it because they want to have a certain window where people can collect their thoughts and then publish them. It's kind of annoying, but that's just the way they play
the game. That makes sense.
So Pixel 4 is the new smartphone from Google. And if you've listened to me at all, you know I love the Pixel lineup. It is pure Google. Pixel 4 fixes a lot of the problems that we've seen on previous devices. The number one thing is there is no ultra-wide camera lens, which every other smartphone maker in the world is doing. Google decided not to. They did put a secondary lens, but it's more for zoom. And they say that they think that zoom is more important to users, which I kind of agree with because I was debating this with my wife last night. I was like, how many people actually take ultra-wide pictures? Like, what are the use cases? Not many. But how many people are at their kids' recital or out and about? How many times you see people pinching in on the screen to zoom in? All the time.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you lose a lot of quality. Google, you don't really lose a lot of quality. So that's amazing. It also has this motion sense, which means there's a little radar inside, which you can control it with your hand just by waving it. That is very hit or miss, but it's there and it works. The face unlock is super fast. It's amazing. It's actually too fast because every time I look at my phone, it's unlocked already.
Really?
Yeah, so that's kind of crazy. but it's great. You can snooze alarms by waving your hand over them. You can silence phone calls. You can skip to the next song. That's kind of cool. The camera has been improved, but the Pixel's pretty darn good, so it's kind of tough to improve that camera. But you can now take pictures of stars, which I have not tried. I will do that this weekend in my backyard. I can't wait. You can take a picture for as long as 4 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So I can't wait to see what that looks like. Yeah. You have to put it on a tripod if you're going to do that.
Okay.
Because you can't just hold it for 4 minutes.
Because I was going to say you should go on the parking lot and take a picture of the sky with the Griffith Observatory at like 3 a.m.
I was going to do that. I actually thought of that this morning.
Yeah.
But I don't I need to get a little stand for the phone.
Yeah.
They actually gave me a case that has a built-in tripod, but it's too bulky for me to like carry around every day. So let's see. So you can take pictures that way. Let's see. The screen is 90 hertz capable, which means when you're scrolling through Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, it looks smoother than normal, but that's not really a big thing for most people. Battery life, they say it's all day. It has wireless charging, all that good stuff. The things it does not have, no fingerprint reader, no wide-angle lens, and no original picture storage no unlimited picture storage at original quality, which was one of the big things that the three previous Pixels had, which means you can store all your photos and 4K videos at the best resolution and never worry about paying for that. Now that's not a thing anymore.
Why do you think?
It probably got too expensive for Google. Yeah. And they probably just don't need it anymore. Like I don't know. They just decided that's not important. So I never thought it was important because I pay for Google storage anyway. And I don't think it's... Look, these tech companies have a lot of research and they understand how people are using their devices in ways that we don't even understand because your phone is reporting back all the time what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
And so they understand. They know if people are using the pinch to zoom. They know if people are using this app or that app. So we can kind of speculate on the top features. Google actually and Apple and all these companies, they know what the top features are.
Yeah.
So they know what they can ditch. And yeah, they're going to get some stuff in the media about it, but they know it's not going to be a big deal at the end of the day. The other app that's kind of cool is the Recorder app, and it transcribes everything in real time in addition to recording your voice. So it's kind of like a notes app that's much more useful because you can look at the transcript. Cool if you're in meetings all the time and, you know, that kind of stuff. Again, I've been using the Pixel XL version. It's big. I think for most people, they'll probably want the smaller one, but I like the big screen. And so far, so good. I mean, I can only give you my impressions of it. I cannot give you my review of it.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that I will probably be buying the 128 gigabyte Pixel 4 XL.
So how would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 as an impression?
I just love the Pixel. I think it's like the perfect smartphone for creator. It's a little bit tougher because it's not like as good as the iPhone when it comes to like creating content and the apps aren't as good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as a smartphone, it is really smart. Like, it just anticipates everything that you want to do and kind of, like, is ready for that. And I think that's the difference between iPhone and Pixel.
Right.
iPhone has all the apps. It's perfect. It's polished. It just does everything you need it to do. But it's more of, I call it a hunt and peck mentality. Versus on this phone, the Pixel uses AI to kind of surface things that it thinks you want to do next. And I think that's the biggest difference between the two devices.
Right.
So hopefully that made sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's a 10.
Let's go to Megan with the first question of the day.
All right, so this first question comes from Evelyn, and she writes in on richontech.tv. All you have to do is you can send a question to Rich through richontech.tv, go to the contact page, and you can submit your question. Evelyn asks, what have you heard about this product? It's called Infinity Cloud.
This is not the first question I'm getting about this thing. And it's spelled in a weird way. Like, is it spelled Infinity Cloud? Is that how she spelled it?
Yes.
Okay, so I've gotten at least, I would say, 4 or 5 emails about this. So clearly they are advertising somewhere that I am not a part of, like whether it's Instagram or Facebook or late night TV. I don't know. But I've gotten a lot of emails. I'm trying to figure out, there's not like a main website that I found, but I did find on Amazon, they have something called the Infinity Cloud USB drive, and it's spelled that same way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 128 gigabyte drive, and it includes Infinity Cloud super fast one-click backup software for Mac and PC. I'm guessing this is what she's talking about. It's a $90 device, and it's kind of, from what I can tell, it's a flash drive that backs up things on your computer.
Okay.
And I don't like the name Infinity Cloud because it sounds like you're getting as much backup storage as you need. And this
Infinity.
Yeah. And this is 128 gigs. So
yeah, that's weird.
Here's my advice on this. I think it has a fancy name. I think they're advertising and they're, you know, they're getting people to buy this thing. But don't, I would say if you're going to backup stuff, number one, if you have a Windows computer or a Mac computer, buy a hard drive. Western Digital, $70 will get you a 2 terabyte hard drive. You plug it into your computer. Your Mac or your Windows computer will automatically back up all your files there. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to the cloud, use iCloud, use Google Photos for your photos, use Microsoft OneDrive for your documents if you want, you know, depending on the platform you're on. And all, again, you can get some free storage with those, but you can also pay to get more storage. And finally, if you want to use something like Backblaze or Carbonite, if you want sort of the entire computer backed up to one. So what would happen with that with Backblaze or Carbonite is it's off-site. So it's very similar to Time Machine or Windows backup, but it's off-site. So God forbid your, you know, hard drive ever, you know, crashes, plus the secondary backup you have gets lost or burned or ruined, you can go to Backblaze and say, hey, can you get all my data back? And it gets back to the way you were. And they may charge you like a fee if you want like a drive sent to your house with all of your stuff on it, or you can just download it from the computer as well. So those are the things that I would recommend: Backblaze or Carbonite. And the first backup, by the way, is going to take a long time because you're backing up your whole computer.
Yeah.
After that, it's incremental and it's just done. Like I had Carbonite for a while. And it was great because like you just knew your whole computer was backed up without even thinking.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. And I'm just seeing how much it is. So Backblaze is $60 for a year or $6 a month.
Okay.
And I always go back to the beer mentality. If you purchase a beer or a drink for $5, $10 one time that month, you can have Backblaze for $6.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you need to do that, but I'm just saying, you know, you spend money on things. Like you go to Chipotle, it's $9.
Right.
You could add your computer backed up for the whole month.
Yeah.
And you could add a bowl of cereal at home.
Or a beer.
Or a beer. Samsung says they will soon patch a fingerprint recognition problem on the Galaxy S10. Samsung said that there is a software patch ready to go for a fingerprint recognition failure on the S10 smartphone. Apparently, there's a bug in the Galaxy S10 that allows people to unlock the phone using their fingerprint, even if their fingerprint is not the one registered to unlock the phone. That sounds really bad.
AKA anyone can open the phone.
Pretty much.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
A British user told the Sun newspaper, which is a tabloid, I believe, over in Europe, that she had a third-party screen protector on her phone and her husband was able to unlock it using his fingerprint without registering.
Is this the only example?
Apparently. But it's big enough where Reuters did a story on it.
Yeah.
Everyone else has picked it up. And Samsung did tell Reuters and Gizmodo that they do have a software fix that they're going to put out for this. And here's the thing they said. Apparently, some of the issues with your fingerprint recognition happen with some third-party screen protectors that are silicon-based and plastic-based. And so it's, I guess if you have a glass screen protector, which I would normally recommend, it's probably not that big of an issue. But with these cheaper ones, it is.
Oh, interesting.
And so again, I haven't used a plastic screen protector in a long time. I always use one that's glass from Tech Armor. And so I haven't seen this issue. I guess I can try to recreate it on the Samsung Galaxy S10, but I don't think so. That's a weird one.
Yeah, you should try to recreate it.
But it wouldn't work because I don't have a screen protector. Oh. So I'd need like a cheap, I guess I can go to like one of those cheap mall kiosks and, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway,
wow,
so again, my advice to you, if you have a Samsung Galaxy S10, is this going to happen? I don't know. Try it. If you have a cheap plastic screen protector on there, A, you probably want to upgrade that. B, have a friend try their fingerprint and see if it works and let me know.
Yeah, and then maybe change to a passcode.
Yeah, I would definitely change
for
to a passcode.
For the time being.
For the time being, yeah, until you see that software update.
Okay, cool. Next question comes from Kathy, and she asks, I need to get a new streaming stick. I had Fire Stick. I now have an iPhone. So between Fire Stick and Apple TV, which would you recommend? And then she said my TV is 1080, but may soon get an HD. So I assume I should get an HD streaming stick.
They're all HD at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think they sell a stick that's not. Roku might in their bottom, like their lowest one, they might. But yeah. And also your TV is 1080. That's HD already. So
you're already okay there.
Yeah, you're already there. What? Let's see. So she has Apple TV.
No.
No, she has an iPhone.
She had Fire Stick. She also said she has Roku in some rooms and she hates it.
Okay, so she had Fire Stick and then she hates the Roku. I mean, I don't.
So between Fire Stick and Apple TV, which would you recommend?
So Fire Stick, I think that's the one I use. It's super cheap. It works really well. It pushes all Amazon stuff, and I find that the organization of the Fire Stick is atrocious. Because like if I just want to see what the top movies are for like rental or purchase, it's like takes like 25 menus to find that. Whereas on Apple TV, you just go to iTunes and it's like top movies, boom.
Yeah.
But again, an Apple TV is way more expensive. And I think that's the delineation here. How much do you want to spend? Apple TV, you're looking at closer to $200 versus Fire Stick, you can get it for like $25.
Right.
Or maybe I think the 50 as the most expensive one as a stick. So it depends how many you're buying. And with Apple TV, you get the integration to your iPhone. So do you want to AirPlay stuff from your iPhone to the screen?
I think that's also something she probably wants.
And photos. You can also, so if you have a Fire Stick like I do, to get your photos from your iPhone onto the TV, you can do it. You can download the Amazon Photos app. You can upload them one by one and do that. Or if you have an iPhone, obviously it's just kind of like you can just do a photo stream or you can do your recent pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think personally, I would probably lean towards the Apple TV if you have an iPhone and you're saying you hated Roku, which I don't know why you hate Roku. It's pretty good. And you had Fire Stick.
I love Roku.
Yeah. So Roku just sent me a Ultra to test.
Oh, cool.
And so I set it up and I went through the whole thing and I haven't used a Roku in forever. And I got to say, I was actually quite impressed. It's
just clean and straightforward.
Yes, except there are a lot of ads on the screen. I don't like the ads.
Yes.
And the interface looks like it's out of the 80s because it kind of like when you start streaming.
It really does.
That bar that comes up is like, come on, could you just redo that a little bit? Apple TV is probably the most polished. It is the most polished out of all of them.
They don't put ads on it.
No. And you're also spending the most.
Right.
Whereas this Roku is half the price, and it does all the same things, and if not more. Because the remote it came with is really nice. It can plug, you can plug a headphone jack into it, or headphones into the remote, which is really cool. It controls the volume on your TV.
Yeah.
And the power on off.
I wish my control had that.
It has two buttons that you can assign to anything. So if you love to come home and stream something over and over, like, I mean, Netflix is a bad example, because I feel like the remote has that button.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it has YouTube.
It may not. So whatever you want to do, you know, you can assign that button, or maybe you want to listen to a podcast or music. So I personally think that the Apple TV might be the way to go for you, Kathleen, but you know, it all depends on how much you want to spend. I think that's the main thing. Oh, speaking of Amazon, Amazon's holiday toy guide seems like a great place to reference all of your holiday shopping, because Amazon is the place where we all shop nowadays. Well, guess what? A spot on that guide could cost you $2 million.
Oh, my God.
According to Bloomberg, Amazon has companies pay to be included in this holiday toy guide. Now, they don't pay for outright inclusion. They pay for the ability to be featured or considered in this list. So Amazon sells holiday toy list sponsorships for as much as $2 million, according to documents reviewed by Bloomberg. The more sponsors pay, the more products they can nominate to be on the list, and the more prominently their own products will be featured on the website. Amazon aimed to sell at least $20 million in sponsorships for this year's show, according to documents from Bloomberg. And this is all through Fortune magazine, who's reporting on what Bloomberg reported. And then I'm reporting it. But it makes sense. But here's
an exception.
I get it. If you go to Walmart and Walmart Circular is telling you the top holiday gifts, that is not a third-party thing. Like Walmart says, like, oh, we make a pretty good margin on this Elmo doll, so let's put that on the list. Or we have a pretty good relationship with Hasbro and they have this new doll, let's put that on the list.
Yeah.
I get it. It's not third party. It's not independent. You're not expecting, when you go into a store and you look at what's on the end of the aisle, they call those the end caps. Mm-hmm. Those are all highly coveted positions that companies jockey for, and they try to get their stuff there, and sometimes it costs money to get there. When you look at the stuff on the aisles, when you look at the peanut butter that's right at eye level.
Yeah.
Jif has paid for that placement.
Totally.
Or somehow, it may not be a direct payment, but they work with Walmart to figure out how to get their stuff there. Hey, we'll give you 5 cents off every can because we know you give us a very good spot on the shelf every year. You're not down at the bottom. They put the cheap stuff at the bottom because that's not paying.
Yeah, that's why I always go for the cheap stuff.
Always.
I always go to the bottom.
Always. You gotta shop by the unit price.
Yes.
And so this is not a surprise, but I think, and I looked at the Amazon toy list on their website. I can only find 2018s right now, but it doesn't say anywhere that, like, it says, okay, so here's what Amazon says for their part. Every product on our annual holiday toy list, which features family gift ideas, is independently curated by a team of in-house experts based on a high bar for quality, design, innovation, and play experience. We source product ideas from many places, including our selling partners, who have an opportunity to nominate their best toys for the season and increase visibility of those toys. So Amazon's saying, like, yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's like awards, like, you know, when people get, like, Emmys and stuff. Like, you don't pay for that, but you pay to nominate yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they also pay a lot in, like, promoting the show or the movie. Like, the Oscars is all, I don't want to say rigged, but, like, they put millions into just getting, you know.
Like, if
so,
there's a
course.
Great, you only know about the great documentary because it's advertised 50 different ways to
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and Netflix probably spent $15 million on whatever, PR, just
exactly.
to, like, make that happen.
So it's
happening
not
everywhere. Shocking. It's no. like, but I think people also like to, you know, kind of make it a bigger deal than it is.
Well,
you know?
I think it is a big deal because people need to know that this is happening. When
yeah.
you hear from someone like myself, it's independent. I don't get paid by a company to say I love their stuff. And so I think that's the big delineation is that
right.
with these, all these YouTubers and stuff, and I'm not hating on them. I love them. But the reality is when you see that sponsored or that ad, the company is using them as a conduit mm-hmm. to get their product in front of your face.
Yes.
And that's fine. But you know that because you see sponsored or ad. And
hashtag
that's,
ad.
Hashtag ad.
Yeah.
But on Amazon, like if it says paid placement, you understand that like
yeah.
this is sponsored. There's just a delineation. When you know something's
yeah.
sponsored, you just say in your mind like, okay, that's fine. It doesn't
yeah.
ruin it as a product.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you understand that. And I think that relationship has to be clear.
Yeah. But in stores, they don't.
No, they don't say that. But you understand.
It's
you're in
implied.
A store. So anyway, long story short, I think, you know, listen to as many voices as you can, especially independent voices. And, you know, there's a lot of websites that do reviews now. So, you know, you can just cross-reference the reviews and
oh,
you'll
yeah.
see like the trends among all of them. Oh, no, it's my turn. You already
no.
did a question.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did
or did I just
no,
do?
No, you just did Amazon.
I just did Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay. You're,
but it's
I was
okay.
right.
You can,
see,
you can
I
go.
Trusted my judgment.
You can go.
It's your turn. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. We got a fun message from Steven, who said, I really like your show. Always tons of information. I heard you on Brian Tong's podcast.
Oh, I love that.
I listen
that.
Weekly and now enjoy it a lot.
Oh, that's so good. I just saw Brian Tong at the Pixel event, and it's great. He's a great friend. He's been, you know, we've known each other since we worked at CNET together.
Love that.
And so he left CNET and did his own thing. So now he's part of this YouTube crew, which, by the way, they roll deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 19 of them. They're all like, they all collab and this and that. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
So I'm not part of that group, but I know them.
You could be in
I
it,
say
maybe.
Hi to them, and I know them,
like,
but
hey,
I'm not
guys.
Part of them. But they're doing great. Anyway, so do you have a question as well?
Yes, I do. This question comes from Dan. Hey, Rich, any thoughts on a Mac Mini versus iMac? Looking for something to have at home. Internet, browsing, email, video conferencing for work.
I would definitely go iMac. I think the Mac Mini sounds great, but what's the point? I mean, unless you already have your monitor that you love and the keyboard that you love and all these accessories that you have to bring to the table. I go with an iMac.
Yeah.
My dream is to have an iMac. Never owned an iMac.
Oh, weird.
It has literally been my dream to have an iMac on my desktop for the past decade.
You need to have a little writer room. And
right?
You'll have your iMac and like
yes.
you just write there.
Oh, I just want that. But then here's my problem. I can't justify purchasing an iMac when I have my computer that I use everywhere, my laptop that I just put on my desk.
Yeah.
And then also I imagine like, okay, so now I have to go between like both things and like whatever I put on the desktop
right.
there, it's not on that desktop. And then
but aren't there ways to like connect
sync
the
it up?
Two?
I don't think so. There probably is. But my advice, what was this person's name again?
Dan.
Stan?
Dan.
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 Dan, my advice is do not, I repeat, do not go with the base model iMac.
Mm.
Because it's $1,099, that's the sucker's bet. You do not get the best things on that computer, namely the best screen. You get an old non-retina screen. Now, do you remember when you had your MacBook Air
mm-hmm.
versus the computer
it.
They gave you here?
Yeah.
Do you know one has the retina screen, one
yes.
doesn't? Can you
yes.
tell the difference?
Yes.
Night and day.
It's insane. Like, it's crazy.
So imagine spending $1,099 on an iMac to get a non-Retina display when you can, you've already gone the $1,099.
Right.
Go the $200 further. Don't eat out and for get that 2 Retina. Months and get the Retina.
Yeah. Do your eyes a favor.
Everything with me is eating out or drinking.
Wait, what?
Well, I'm just saying, because I always see money as like all these little decisions we make in our lives.
Yes.
Where you go out, like I went out the other night, I bought a round of drinks for my family. It was like 60 bucks. I know.
For your very kids? Nice.
No, my.
I'm just kidding.
Yes, those milkshakes
so
add up.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it was $60. And so that is 6 months of Spotify in my head right there.
Yeah.
And everyone, it's not just me that's doing this.
That's a cute blouse at J. Crew.
See? And it's all these little things. Like if you buy coffee at Starbucks, you know, it's $4.45 for like a latte now.
Yeah.
And that is half a month of some cloud service that you've been hemming and hawing over. Mm-hmm. And so we make these little decisions so easily in real life.
Yeah.
Then when it comes to buying a Mac, you say, well, I'll just save the $200 and go with the base model.
No.
Spend the extra $200 and get the model that has the Retina display. And it's a 4K display as well. And you also get some other improved graphics, you know, bigger, not a bigger hard drive, but just better. A couple other specs are better, too. So, good question.
Yeah.
And the Mac Mini, don't get me wrong, I think that's awesome. Back in the day when the home theater PC was a big deal, the Mac Mini was kind of cool because you can hook it up to your TV and stuff. I don't see the point of that anymore. Let's get an Apple TV. Nest Mini is getting a makeover. Available October 22nd is the new... Yeah, this used to be called the Google Home Mini. Now it's the Nest Mini, probably Google's most popular smart speaker. I've got a bunch of them around my house. Do you have any of these around your place?
Nest Mini?
Like these little things?
Yeah, my sister has one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need one?
I mean...
Because I have one I can give you.
Okay.
Okay. I will give you one.
Oh, okay. The new one?
Yeah. No, not the new one.
Oh.
The old one. Okay. For a while, I was getting these things as like in like gift bags, like randomly. You go to like an event, you get like a Google Home Mini, and I was giving them out. I've reached a point of like saturation where everyone I know like doesn't want them anymore.
Like, I'm good.
Yeah. So the Google Home Mini was launched in 2017. The new version, there's not too much to know about it. It's $50, same price that used to be. These things usually go on sale as a loss leader during the holidays. You can pick them up for $29, $39, you know, at least $10 off during the holidays. I'd say if not, probably $29 is a more viable price point. So don't buy this thing at $49. I hate to say this with all Google stuff, but they price it in a way that they know some of these things like these Nest Minis, they're just going to go on sale.
Yeah.
Target's going to put them on sale. Walmart, Best Buy. So the thing to know about it now is it kind of looks the same, but it's made from 100% recycled plastic bottles. So all those bottles that you're throwing out from your water, your Fiji water.
I don't really drink.
That's true. You have a flask.
And when he says flask, he means to say hydro flask.
Oh, I forgot the first part of that word.
Yeah, it's not. That's Rich that has the flask.
So the Nest Mini is made from recycled plastic bottles, which is really cool. 100%, which I love. It also has 40% more bass than the original model. Every time I see the word bass, I see bass.
Yeah, I see. Why do I see bass?
Because it's spelled B-A-S-S.
Oh.
Who says bass?
Yeah.
It's spelled B-A-S-S.
It's spelled
I see bass.
Whoever bass. Decided that.
It's like when I go fishing. Do I go bass fishing? No, I go bass fishing. But it's spelled the same.
Yeah, that is
I used
weird.
To do that, by the way. It's been a long time.
Bass fishing?
I used to all the time.
Oh. Yeah, you...
Growing up.
That's shocking.
Yeah. Let's see. You can group the speakers together. We talked about in the last podcast, so they don't sound as good. The old ones don't, at least. Maybe the new ones sound better. The voice assist, the Google Assistant now adjusts depending on the background noise, which is really neat because if you have the dishwasher going and you ask Google something, it might be tough to hear in the past and you have to go and turn the volume up. Now it dynamically uses its microphones to hear what the ambient sound is and it'll bump up the volume a little bit.
What about if you're watching a TV show and you say like, hey, Google, and then like the TV show's in the background and it's like picking up the show, but you're at, like, we'll hear you.
That's a whole problem. Yeah, I don't know. I
mean, turn the show off first.
Well, that's like a whole issue with this whole Google thing. It's like so many things turn, you know, trigger it and they get false triggers and it starts listening to other stuff. But it's pretty good about the ambient sound. Like from what I've seen when I'm in like a loud room and I trigger it, it's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a new intercom feature and I got to test this out at the Google offices and it was really neat. This turns your Nests into an intercom system.
And I love that.
Have you ever used an intercom like in your house?
Yeah.
Okay. So we used to have one like back in the day.
We have one.
Okay. You have one. Yeah. So it's like.
But we don't use it.
No one does. It's kind of like one of those things from like the 80s or 70s. You know, it's like an old school thing.
Yeah.
And it's like we had it in my house growing up, and I thought it was so cool as a nerd. So I'd always be like on the thing. I'm like, everyone, please come down to dinner, you know, and like
you're gonna do this with your kids if you get the.
Well, so there's a feature. There's two features on the Nest Mini now. One is called broadcast, which you can do from any. So you could do that from your phone. So if you pick up your phone and say H Google broadcast, I'm headed home. It will take your voice and it will play on all your speakers at the same time.
That's so cool.
That's one feature, and you can try that right now. The other feature that they're enabling, which is new, is called intercom. I can say, H Google, call the living room Google Mini, whatever you've named it. And it will make a call to it. It'll ring. The other person on the other end taps the top.
Yeah.
And they go, hello. And you're like, hey, what's up? I'm right over here. I'm across the room. You know, I'm across the house.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean,
you have to figure out the use case, but if you have a big house, you know, like I always imagine like one of these days I'd have a house that like, you know, when you have that dinner table that's like
so
a mile
long. That you need two of these.
Lindsay and I have done that before. We've eaten dinner like at the opposite ends of the, our dinner table's not that long, but
it
seats
like
a bunch of people.
You're already living that life.
No, but we have like a decently, it's a more long than normal table.
Yeah.
And so I always think it's funny, like when we first got it, to sit on the opposite ends. And it's just so fun. You put candles in the middle and like you just have like your Friday night dinner. Like,
yeah.
Can you please bring in the Dijon mustard?
It's very Downton Abbey.
That's lost on me.
No idea. Okay.
It's like fancy.
Fancy. Yeah. Fancy.
So that's the Nest Mini. And the other thing to know about the Nest Mini is that it is faster at processing your commands because they've built some machine learning onto the device. So it kind of understands, like, you always ask every day at 2 p.m. to turn the lights up or whatever. I always ask every day when I get in to, like, turn on the kitchen lights. Mm-hmm. And so it will learn that and it will figure that out and process faster now somehow.
And it's like it plays Lizzo because you always walk
every
in
day.
And you're like, play Lizzo.
Walk in and play my normal. And it's like, da, 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 whatever she sings. I don't know that song.
That was close.
Something like that.
Okay. The next question comes from Paula. And she says, facial recognition on phones. I prefer the fingerprint way. With face rec, someone could grab your phone and point it at you and run away. Then they'd have your phone unlocked. Am I right or wrong?
So true.
Yeah.
I think face unlock is a double-edged sword.
I always do that when you want me to record something. I'll like take your phone and I'll point at your face and it unlocks.
And it works, right. Yeah. And it's the same thing with the Pixel. I mean, it you know, my brother, when he was, when we were out that night in New York City, he just like held the phone up to my face and it unlocked. You know, you just do that and it's like, boom.
Yeah.
And so I do think there is something to that. And I think that, I don't know, maybe they'll figure out a way around that. I don't know what.
Yeah, maybe
the way
like a palm reader.
Yeah, like where, well, or
it
just
knows
like,
your hand.
Yeah, it notices how you hold the phone maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, that could be, I don't know. We're just spitballing here because we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, do you hear stories about this happening?
I don't hear stories about it happening. I've thought about this. Like, yeah, someone finds you and they're just like, you know, oh, they hold you down and they put the phone in front of your face and you're just like, oh, well, there goes my whole phone.
I feel like people don't care that much.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
don't
want to
find out. Do you want to find out?
No, but I also have an 8+, so I'm like living in the past.
And so to answer this person's question, I would say I'm on the same wavelength. I get it. Like there are things that face unlock is pretty cool to have it, but I also see the other side of when you're, this is the way I see it. When you're using a fingerprint scanner, you're in control because it's your finger and someone can't, they can hold you down and force you to put your fingerprint on there, but it's a little bit different. You know, it takes like more physical coercion. Whereas for face, like you said, you can just hold it up and be like, boom. And next thing you know, it's unlocked.
Yeah.
So I
want to try it and see.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's see. So I won't look. Okay. So I'm not going to look. Okay. And it's not unlocking. But if I'm just like right here and I look at it, is it unlocking? It's not. See?
Why?
It knows that you're,
It's
okay.
Really?
That's the Pixel. Now try it. You want to try it with the iPhone?
Yeah.
Okay. So we just tried it with Pixel. So now try it with the iPhone. So I'm going to look away. Okay. Now I'm looking at it and no, it says swipe to unlock, swipe up to unlock. So swipe up and then turn it to me really quick and see if it works. See? Yeah. See, I think they're onto us, Megan. I mean,
wait, look at it.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think.
So maybe.
Maybe they have figured it out.
Don't worry about it, Paula.
Yeah. It's all good. We just tested it in our very non-scientific testing. We found that you do not have to worry about this.
Yes. You will be fine.
But it seems to. I mean, I don't know. That seemed to work. Okay, let's move on. Pixelbook Go is another product that Google unveiled at their event. I got to play with this for a little bit, and I will be honest, I 100% fell in love with this device. It is their Chromebook. It's a high-performance Chromebook, and it's kind of like, well, I guess it's not as high-performance as the standard Pixelbook, but it's still, it's a lightweight kind of device for the average person that just needs to do basic things on their computer. But the best part is it's barely 2 pounds. It's super thin. Its price is $649, which is a kind of a sweet spot. I would have liked it to be $499. I think that is a super sweet spot when it comes to a laptop. Mm-hmm. $499 is like, that is no-brainer. Mm-hmm. You get a really nice computer for $499. $649 is a little bit more expensive, but again, it goes back to what I'm saying about, I think Google prices some of these things knowing they might be discounted at during the holidays.
Right.
But I don't know with this one. Depends. We'll have to see because I don't know how much it would be discounted. But it's got quiet backlit keys, and I'll be 100% honest. Like, I was ready to purchase this thing.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it that much. It's like everything I want in a computer. Super easy. You don't have to worry about viruses. It turns on automatically. The battery lasts a long time. It runs Chrome. What more do you need? The only problem is I like to edit video on my computer, and I also use Final Cut. And so
couldn't you use Adobe?
No, not on this one because you can't install any programs on it, except like the way I look at it is I think you can install Android apps on it at this point. Oh, mm-hmm. So maybe I could if it's an Android app. You know what? I got to try that out because I've never used a Chromebook. It's been a long time.
Does Google have their own video editing software?
They do not.
I wonder if they'll ever add that
to their.
They should,
but they don't. I don't think they position their stuff as like content creation devices. The Pixelbook Go to me is for someone who is a mobile worker who does spreadsheets or email or word processing or is writing a book. They're not editing video. They're not editing music. They're not creating content.
It's a different space completely.
Exactly. Even I would argue maybe if you're like a web blogger, I guess nowadays you could do 99% of blogging with just your Chrome because I use, this is fantastic, by the way, if you ever need it. I'm not ever doing anything in Photoshop. And I think even Photoshop probably runs on this thing because they probably have a version of it for this. If you could run Android apps on it, that kind of changes the game.
Yeah.
I should probably know this, Megan.
I think that you should.
You talk while I figure out. Can the Pixelbook Go run Android apps? Because if it does, install Android apps on your Pixelbook.
Okay, so technically.
So I should try this. If it can run Adobe.
Yeah, you're never getting that
Rush?
iMac, by the way.
No, I'm never getting the iMac. I'm never getting a new Mac. You know how many things, I've told you how many things are on my list of purchases.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's your
everything
passion.
Just keeps coming out new, and I'm like, But I kind of want the Pixelbook. And by the way, I would not get the $649 personally because I want higher specs.
Right.
It goes all the way up to, I think, like $1,399, which pretty cheap.
One?
I think so. Because that has like 16 gigs of RAM and like, I think 256.
Yeah, wow, that would be really crazy if you just switched to using a Chromebook.
If I can install Adobe Rush, the only thing I would not be able to do is Final Cut.
And iMessage from your...
iMessage, that's true. That would be a tough one.
See, that's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
And yeah.
But
anyway,
the app I was talking about that I use to resize images is called promo.com/tools/image-resizer. You drag and drop an image into there, and it resizes it to every single perfect size for every platform.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube thumbnails, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Snapchat, email and blog, Google Display Network, whatever that is. I guess that's for ads. So cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you need that if you're
so
a blogger.
So Pixelbook Go, it also has this weird grippable design, which is kind of cool. On the bottom, it's like ribbed almost, which is kind of weird, but it helps you grip it.
Yeah.
So you don't drop it. And it makes sense. So it's not like smooth on the bottom. Kind of cool. Let's see what else. 12 hours of battery life.
Wow.
2 hours, 20 minutes of charging gives you 2 hours of battery. It's kind of cool if you're getting on the plane. You just want to top it off a little bit. Got that. The keyboard, they really made a big deal out of this because I don't know if you've heard me typing on mine.
Did they say clickless? Isn't that what it's called?
Hush.
Hush.
They call it hush keys. And so it's really quiet. I gotta, like I said, I fell in love with this thing. Like I sat there and I was playing with it and I was literally saying I could see myself using this.
Aww.
And I've always wanted to kind of
so cute
break free of like my standard. I've had the same kind of MacBook Pro for like a decade now.
Yeah.
And it'd just be kind of fun to be like that guy with the Pixelbook. People are looking at you like, what is that?
Yeah.
What's that weird grippy thing on the bottom of your laptop? What's that weird? You know, you don't have to sit there and do a Windows update for 2 hours every day because, you know, they come out this giant update that takes forever.
Right.
So, you don't have these loud keys like I have in my MacBook. I don't know. I think I'm going to get one.
Yeah, I think you should.
We'll see. See how I deal.
All right. So this question comes from Raina. The subject is Spectrum's latest $4 rate increase with no speed increase. So she says that on October 11th, she got an email from Spectrum announcing that she can get speeds up to 200 megabytes per second with no rate increase. And then she said, my September bill said that there will be a general $4 month rate increase on my October bill.
What's her name?
Raina.
Raina.
And then she said, I can't seem to hold those two thoughts in my head. My current download.
You don't have to read all the rest part. She goes on and on.
Okay.
But I think the first part is really the interesting part about
that there was an increase before this. Yeah.
So here's the story, and I've done this on Twitter enough, so I don't really want to like beat a dead horse here. But the reality is, can we still say that? I don't even know. I don't even know what you can say anymore. I feel like that's like such an old saying that like.
Oh
that's
no!
Kinda,
I like
what a visual.
I like really thought about that.
Yeah. Have you heard that before?
I would never beat a dead horse.
Have you heard that term?
No, I mean, I've heard it.
Yeah, it's kind of
weird.
But I
don't really
thing.
Understand.
Yeah, I'm going to stop saying that.
Beat a dead horse.
I wouldn't beat anything. Like, why would I beat a dead horse?
Yeah,
weird.
I'm a horse lover, so yeah. No.
I can't wait to get on a horse again. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're a big equestrian.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what happened. Spectrum came out about 2 months ago, and we talked about this on the podcast, and everyone responded saying, oh my gosh, they doubled the speeds in Los Angeles and across the nation to like 200 when everyone was paying for 100. So now you got the same like price, but like, oh my gosh, it's way faster. This happened at my house. Then all of a sudden I get my bill last week, and in tiny little writing, it's like, effective next bill, there will be a $4 increase on your bill. They didn't say it was for speed. They just said $4 monthly, whatever. And so then a week later, I get an email, or 2 days later, I get an email from Spectrum saying, we've increased your speed at no cost to you. I'm like, what?
No.
Dude, what is it? Like, just don't send an email like that after you just raised my bill by $4. So now I'm paying, next bill would be $69.99 a month for internet.
Wow.
And I think it's kind of ridiculous that they did that.
They should have just said, like, we're going to charge you $4 more because the speed is increasing.
Hey, we improved your speed. By the way, we have costs that go up too. And at the end of the day, they know that people rely on their internet.
Yeah.
And they can charge $100 a month and people will still not switch because, A, they have kind of a monopoly on it.
Totally.
There's only like two providers in every area. Usually one's not very good.
What's the other provider here?
It just depends where you live. Like, it could be AT&T and some. There's. It just depends.
Yeah, okay.
It all depends where you live. So... if you want to check, I always try to give you a little knowledge with my rants, but highspeedinternet.com, you can pop in your zip code and kind of see what the provider is in your area. Did she say where she lives?
No, she did
not. So I'll just do West LA as an example. And in West LA, you can get Frontier, Spectrum, Viasat, and HughesNet and CyberNet. So obviously the only two that are wired are really Spectrum and Frontier. But here's the thing. This is what I will leave with you. The good news is that we are on the verge of these 5G networks being in big cities in a big way. And when those take off, you'll be able to have a third option in many cases overnight.
Yeah.
Because you can now get a signal from the sky, or I should say from the air, that is just as good, that can rival these wired connections. So hopefully that should switch up prices a little bit. The problem is a lot of these 5G connections are from the same companies that own the wired connections. And so competition will be there at the beginning, but like anything else, at the end of the day, they're going to level out the prices anyway. Well, that's going to do it for the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Megan, did you enjoy the show?
Yeah, I learned a lot.
I did too. I feel like this was a really good show. I feel like we both learned a lot here in this journey. My book is called 101 iPhone Tips and Tricks. It is available right now for both the iPhone for in Kindle form, like ebook form, and also paperback form. So it is available on Amazon. Check it out. You can read it for free through Kindle Unlimited, or you can purchase it and keep it either as paperback or as ebook. Megan, how can people get in touch with you?
I am on Twitter, at Producer Megan, and I've been getting some questions this past week from people.
Okay. Did you bring any of them to the show?
Okay.
For next show.
Okay,
so
next
if you have
show.
A question, you can tweet Producer Megan as well.
Totally. Tweet me.
And, you know, we'll get it on the show. And, for me, you can find me on social media at Rich on Tech on Instagram, Facebook.com/Rich on Tech. That's going to do it for our show. Please, if you're listening for the first time, subscribe to us in your favorite audio app and listen every week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.